Welcome to the Authority of Love. My name is Greg Williams, and thank you for joining us again. Listen anytime at WJMM.com. Check out the Authority of Love schedule, 11 a.m. That's where you'll find that schedule. Click on that, or the podcast link, and click on Love and Lordship. Now, we've moved from Lordship and discipleship into relationship because Lordship and discipleship is our relationship with the Lord, right? So now we're moving into loving relationships in humanity, okay, in line with God's word and covenant order. If you missed any or would like to listen again, once again, check them out, WJMM. We are also working on getting a podcast page put together where we will have each of these put out daily through our ministry. And then on Saturday, we'll probably put them together and send all five of them for that week if you want to listen to them again or share them with someone to help them. So appreciate that. Thank you for your prayers and for your involvement in that. If we can help you in any way, let us know. Contact me at loveandlordship@gmail.com, loveandlordship@gmail.com. Or you can go to the Love and Lordship page on Facebook and message me there. Love to connect with you, hear what's going on in your life and how we can help encourage one another and grow together in the Lord. So thank you again for joining us. And we're moving into, as I said a moment ago, how do we build loving relationships? Remember from previous messages that mammon or stuff, success, pleasure, all right, money, the things that money can buy in the here and now is the currency of this world and of our flesh. Loving relationships are the currency of Christ's kingdom. Now, we're going to have more on this in today's message and beyond, but whichever you're choosing is always done to some degree at the expense of the other. Now, part of that is just living in life, but part of that are the choices we make and how we prioritize our living and our life. This does not mean that you can't have some stuff, success, and pleasure as long as they're not sinful in nature and do them within loving relationships. But as we mentioned when talking about lordship, priorities reveal lordship, and that is true in our relationships. Whichever has a hold of your heart will be what you pursue at the expense of all else, including people, relationships, especially marriage and family, the foundation of society and culture, and the building blocks of Christ's church. That's how significant relationships, and in particular marriage and family, are. Is it any wonder that our churches are having very little influence or impact in today's culture? That's just a reality, folks. So let's take a deeper look at these two key currencies and help determine and encourage us to make the right choices for the right kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Loving relationships versus mammon, stuff, success, pleasure, the things that money buys, okay? God's word calls us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. In other words, his kingship and lordship and what is right in his eyes. Matthew 6:33 tells us that. And to focus on that which is eternal rather than that which is temporal, 2 Corinthians 4:18. These commands, remember, they're not made as suggestions, they're made as commands. Not demands, but commands from a loving Father who is King. These commands prompt us to explore what the Holy Spirit means in his word when he speaks of eternal or kingdom things to ensure that we understand where we are to invest our lives. Priorities, lordship, right? And all my studies over years, 35 plus years of studying God's word every day, I can find only three things on this temporal earth that are kingdom in nature. That ought to tell us something. I'm going to give them to you briefly. We'll talk more. But right now, I just want you to understand, if we're to dwell on that which is eternal rather than temporal, what are the eternal things? Three of them. They are, number one, God's Holy Spirit, given to all believers and working in this world presently and through the church and believers. Number two, God's word. It will never end. It's eternal. And number three, the souls of human beings. Everything else is temporary and will pass away. Only these three will remain, and they all exist for relationship. Us with him, we've been talking about, and us with one another. My question to you, what are you doing with His Word, His Spirit, and in the lives of those around you? Are you investing in what will last, eternal, or that which will someday perish, temporal, temporary? God's Word shows a very clear contrast between His design and desire for loving relationships and the world's attraction to stuff and self at the expense of true loving relationships. The two words in Scripture that best describe love are hesed in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, and agape in Greek in the New Testament. Both words describe God's unconditional, sacrificial faithfulness, His selfless, self-giving love. Other expressions of true love find their source in this, in Him. 1 John tells us that God is love, and in 1 John 4:19 specifically, we love, and I'm adding a word here, but it fits. We love only, that's the word I'm adding, we love only because He first loved us. He's the source. We call many things love that aren't. On the other hand, porneia is the Greek word from which we derive porn or pornography and stands for any and all sexual immorality, including the selfish desires of our heart and our flesh. In scriptural context, it even includes a sexually immoral mindset evident in sexual sin. There are many fleshly lusts and desires that destroy hearts, minds, and relationships. Jealousy, envy, anger, pride, to name just a few. See Galatians 5, 16 through 19 for that full list. These all play a role, and many are encompassed in porneia, which is the enemy's greatest ammunition in the battle. For this reason, I focus on porneia with the understanding that all the other vices and lusts of the flesh must be accounted for in our lives, and along with porneia must be overcome by Christ and in His Word and Spirit as we choose to nurture loving relationships and build His kingdom. If we're not paying attention to these things, we're probably not building loving relationships and making disciples. Keep all of this in mind as you compare and contrast God's covenant order in relationships and sexuality as shown in Scripture with the way of the world. Contrast these. That's what we're going to do here in a moment. The Scriptures that are coming up here show the standard that God has established for human relationships and sexuality in His kingdom, as well as the perversion of the enemy that prevails in our human nature apart from Christ. We have a choice to make, personally and relationally, when it comes to whether we will follow the loving disciplines of His Word and Spirit and build loving relationships, or the lustful desires of our flesh and call it love when it's truly lust. I'm going to share with you a straightforward description. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it now, but I'm going to put it out there. Right from God's Word, contrasting His kingdom with the world and our flesh regarding relationships, sexuality, and community. First of all, with relationships, kingdom currency is loving relationships. So let's see what God's Word says. Christ as Lord in hesed or agape, faithful, selfless, unconditional, self-giving love. Most of the Scriptures here that we've already touched on in the Lordship and Discipleship, our relationship with Christ as Lord, we're going to hear even more as we strive to live them out by faith through grace in human relationships. That's why it's so important to get that relationship with Him down first and be maturing in that and growing in that. Then we begin to build the human relationships and the relationships of His church, the fellowship of believers. Let's begin with this. One of the things that ought to describe a person who is reflecting the love of God begins with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. We don't need a law for these. We rise above it, not to keep it, but keep it out of love. How are these maturing in your life and in your relationships? Continuing with that idea, personally, look at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Now, it talks about a godly woman, but look at the character traits and see how they might apply to every one of us, man or woman. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8a, the love chapter defines love. It never fails. Love does not boast, is not proud, does not keep a record of wrong, is not envious, does not jealousy, does not provoke to anger. How are you doing in your relationships when it comes to those qualities and character traits? Those who fear the Lord and walk in righteousness and integrity are those who are living out His agape love. What about in your home? We're going to talk about these a lot more, so I'm not going over a lot now. But Ephesians 5, 21 through 33 is Paul in the Holy Spirit, his great treatise on marriage. What is that most important of human relationships look like? And why is it called to reflect the church, Christ and his bride? We tend to kind of go, oh, good, we talk about marriage some, but we don't do anything to help build strong ones or hold them accountable to that kind of relationship. And our churches are suffering for that. So we move into the church, the book of 1 John. Read those 105 verses. You can read it pretty quickly, but pay attention to two things, truth and love. That's what he was writing it for, how we live in truth and loving fellowship with Christ and each other in his church. Has to be evident. Can't be a facade. Has to be deeply rooted. Then we move out into the community. He gives us the first and second greatest command, which are already started with these, but love God with all you are, know and love who you are so you can love others as you love yourself, and it's Christ that has loved you. That's how we build good community. The parable of the sower speaks to this. So the sower plants the seed. Which soil is your heart? Is it the rock? Is it the dry, hard soil? Is it the fairly fertile soil but then allows the weeds to come up and choke it out? Or is it the fertile soil that is well tended in truth and grace and love? What's the evidence in your life and relationships? Well, the Bible even tells us that the enemy and the world offers to our flesh something that we may like. Satan, self, not really self, but Satan is Lord, lust and selfish desire. Look in Galatians 5, 16 through 21. You will see a list of the lust of the flesh, a nasty laundry list of living according to our own fleshly desire. What comes natural to us, don't miss that. Because we tend to think, well, if I feel it, it must be okay. No, it's probably in your flesh and it's not okay. It needs to be brought under the control of the discipline of the Holy Spirit for God's work and word to bring fruit in your life. It's Holy Spirit. Parable of the sower, once again. Which soil are you on? Because it tells us if it's on a rocky, hard soil, we can't let others harden our heart, even in marriage. They may not treat us well, but we have the Lord, and we keep that heart fleshy and soft for Him. And then there's selfishness, flesh, and the world. Romans 1, 18 through 31 tells us what that looks like. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8, the law of the harvest. God can't be mocked. Don't deceive yourself. The proof of your life is in the fruit of your life. And then we go back through many of these. I'll give you some more. But we go back through many of these as we talk about sexual purity and love in relationships in the Word. Marriage is one man, one woman. Our bodies is a part of the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sexual purity and blessing versus the world's depravity of man. Again, in Romans 1, 18 through 32, the lust of the flesh, lust, sin, and death in James 1, 15. You see, we're to flee from all of that. How do you think your discipleship affects your relationships, and how do your relationships help or hinder your walk with the Lord? That's what you need to think about. You can never win, and hesed and agape cannot reign in your life if you continue to willingly give into pornea or other lust of the flesh. We'll continue with relationships, love, and pornea tomorrow. Stay tuned for Bill Reeser and Encounter. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.